I needed to think about this a bit. On the downside, my computer had taken some perverse pleasure in having me shocked. He said there was no other way. He was probably right. I just wish he'd tried a bit harder. But I knew I could count on Harb when the chips were down. I had no idea what Earth's next move was going to be. The powers that be were perfectly happy with the suspect they'd locked up in prison. There was no need to go looking for another, especially one that came with such touchy consequences. My latest conversation hopefully changed all that, at least somewhat. Ona and her sisters were open to looking at other possibilities. My hunch was they wanted damning evidence, just in case they needed it to shove in somebody's face. Actually, knowing those ladies, they'd be far more likely to ram damning evidence up somebody's ass. The question was, whose ass were they looking to ram? I think I'll switch to another rhetorical line of questioning. On the moon side, it was clear to me that Carol was most likely right. Either Elena or Leia killed the council members. Of course, I wasn't about to cross Melda off the list either. They all had the power to do it. But did they have the motive? Well, yeah, if you take into account that none of them seemed completely balanced. Elena's motive could have been to screw with her uncle. Leia's could be to protect the moon as a warning to the council. Free us or else. Melda was a trickier egg to crack. She didn't show her power or her emotions as much as her daughter and niece. That didn't mean they both weren't still festering under the surface. She spent a lot of time with Randy, wrapping him around her long, slender little finger. Randy's clearance is top-notch. There's a lot Melda could have come away with. Even if she didn't directly kill anybody, she very well could have known what was coming. Did she try to stop it? I tended to doubt it. The other question was whether Boris Bo Sputnik condoned this. My hunch was he not only knew what was going on, he was the linchpin in this whole scheme. Nothing went down on the moon without him knowing about it. I was sure I would glean some more clues during our dinner. I was asleep on my bed when the concierge awakened me.
Mr. Johnson, your ride to the head administrator's estate will be here in 5 Earth minutes. I assume you're ready?
I sat up. I tried to rub the sleepiness out of my eyes and my brain.
Mr. Johnson?
Don't worry, I'm ready.
Very good, sir.
One of the advantages of only having one all-purpose, non-wrinkle, stain- and smell-resistant suit is that I'm almost always ready to go on a moment's notice. A mirror rolled down in front of me from the ceiling, even though I didn't request it. A hint from Harv, no doubt. I examined myself, mostly to keep Harv from bugging me. I tried not to, but couldn't help but notice that I either had less hair or more forehead than I did when I was younger. On the plus side, most of the hair I had was still dark. The streaks of white I have just make me look more distinguished, or so I keep telling myself. My nose may be a bit long and a tad bent, but my face wears it well, especially since I'm a guy who gets his nose busted a lot. It's a good thing my girl's a surgeon. And speaking of which...
Harv, have you contacted Elektra?
Harv appeared behind me and picked off a piece of lint, or at least acted like he did.
The ARC conference blackout is still in effect. I have been assured we will be able to talk to Elektra tomorrow.
I don't like that.
Yes, well, that and 20 credits will get you a cup of real non-soy coffee. Not much either of us can do about that, except wait. Pull your jacket down. You look wrinkled.
Yes, Mom.
I'm not your mother. I just want you to look good, as how you present yourself is a reflection on me.
If you say so.
I don't suppose I can convince you to shave?
Smart computer.
I've seen Carol. She looks radiant. No, radiant isn't strong enough of a word. She looks radioactive.
Harv, Carol looks great if she's wearing a garbage bag. I hope you weren't watching her dress again.
I'm just saying, if you're with Carol, you should at least make an effort to look your best.
Why? She's my niece and assistant, not my date.
Zach, you are dealing with politicians here. Impression is everything.
As true as that might have been, I didn't let it affect me. Convinced I was ready, I turned around and walked through Harv, who was standing there arms crossed. I knew he hated that.
You just had to pass right through me, didn't you?
Now, where did I put my fedora?
I had a maid bot place your fedora in the closet. You do understand you are in a controlled environment. There is no need for a hat.
When the closet door opened, I saw my fedora sitting quietly on the top shelf. I reached up and grabbed it. I popped it on my head. I turned to Harv, modeling it.
Oh, great deeds. Carol looks like a god, and you like a clod.
Hey, we all work with what we've got.
Yes, some just work harder than others.
I bent down and checked my ankle holsters. My knife and good old-fashioned gun were still there.
You are bringing those to a fancy dinner?
Fancy dinner or not, I'm still me.
Good point. You better make sure Gus is fully charged.
Are you ready, Gus?
Locked and loaded, sir.
Hey, don't blow a fuse there, buddy.
I have no fuses, sir. I am made up of trillions of intelligent, self-powered nano-organisms that...
Figure a speech, Gus. Figure a speech.
Right. I knew that. I'll be up your sleeve if you need me.
I walked into the main room. Carol was already waiting there for me. I was stunned for a nano when I saw her. She was wearing a long, flowing, sleeveless blue gown that was cut right above the knees. The gown wrapped and flowed around her body like it was a living entity, cloned just for the task of looking perfect on Carol. It accentuated everything, while leaving just enough for the imagination. The gown came with matching blue heels. It made her look like she was gliding as she came over to my side. With her golden hair falling over the bare shoulder of her even more golden skin, she did look like an ancient Greek goddess. I took her hand and she spun around, modeling.
You're like?
Please, if he was 15 years younger and if Elektra wasn't such an expert marksman, he'd be falling at your feet now.
You do look fantastic, but I love Elektra very much.
Don't you always say, and I quote, just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you can't still look at the menu.
Yeah, well, Carol's not on the menu.
I know. I just like to yank your chain now and then.
Yeah, Harv has been connected to my brain for far too long. I turned my attention back to Carol. You look marvelous.
I didn't get the reference, but thanks for the compliment. I bought the dress while shopping with Melda. They did the alterations and teleported it here.
They do good work.
I feel great, too. Something about this moon air.
Just don't get feeling too good. Last time that happened, you almost took out the entire West Coast.
Man, I am never going to live that down.
When Carol and I made it outside, we found a ride waiting for us. It was an automated cart that looked like a bubble that hiccuped, just big enough for the two of us to fit. Yep, on the moon, you only travel in style if you travel with the Sputniks. The trappings of power, I guess. Driving along, the little bubble car showed us a promo holo video. The video boasted of the virtues of the moon, about how it was the perfect state where everybody was happy. The moon's administration used its funding to provide modern up-to-date housing and medical care for all. We were treated to a holographic tour of your typical moon dweller's apartment. According to the video, each of the apartments shared the same proportions and amenities. If you can't believe a canned promo video, who can you trust? Each apartment is allocated 400 square meters per individual living in the apartment. The video stressed that trained moon social engineering scientists determined that 400 square meters per person was the optimal size apartment so each person could have enough room while still conserving space. The apartments all had the same basic configuration. Common room, kitchen, dining room, plus one bathroom and bedroom per person or couple. The apartment rooms were modular with movable walls so people could position them in whatever order they wanted. They could also control the size of each room and the number of windows. Each apartment came with the same appliances, holographic entertainment and information center, a teleport box, all-purpose stove, a fridge, and of course, one robotic cleaner. Individuals had control over the color of each of these appliances and all of the walls and carpeting. The video insisted that this gave the individual millions of possible choices, ensuring that everybody would be equal but unique. Marx and Stalin would have been proud. The video was timed perfectly, ending just as we pulled up to the administration building and head administrator's residence. So much for everybody being equal. While most of the buildings on the moon looked like high-tech blocks stacked on top of each other, this one stood out like a gold tooth on a beggar. Most of the moon looks like it's made out of plastic, shiny and new, but plastic nonetheless. This place seemed to be chiseled from stone. It wasn't the tallest of the buildings in the area, but it was by far the most regal. Like a castle among toy building blocks. Carol and I got out of our car. We looked up the marble staircase to a stained glass doorway guarded on each side by milky white lion statues, sitting majestically on pedestals, lording over the masses.
Wow!
We walked up the stairs and through the open doors. The entryway wasn't huge, but it was still impressive, with marble tiled floor alternating between black and white tiles. Roman pillars were positioned throughout the room, holding up a ceiling that didn't need the help. The walls were a smooth and creamy white that was so fluid it was almost alive. This wasn't the nano paint they use most places these days. This was good old-fashioned paint. It might not have been able to change colors or be stain-proof, but this had a true natural color that the newer paints just can't match. A small cylinder bot rolled up to us.
Greetings, Mr. Johnson Miskovata. The Sputniks will be meeting you in the main dining room.
Lovely. An arm extended from the bot's midsection.
May I take your coat and hat?
Yes, of course.
Carol removed my coat with one hand and the fedora with the other. She looked at me, looking at her.
You don't need your coat and hat indoors. It's not like you need them in a controlled environment anyhow.
I don't need them. They just help me stay in the right frame of mind. Carol handed them to the bot. I will get them back?
Of course, sir. Now, if you will walk this way.
We were led into the formal dining room. At least I assumed it was the formal dining room, because if it wasn't, I would have hated to see what these folks considered formal. There was a long table in the middle of the room, draped with what appeared to be a purple felt cloth. Golden silk tapestries adorned the walls. Each of the tapestries was engraved with a black Chinese symbol. They were tasteful and elegant. There were 20 woodcrafted chairs, which looked more like thrones, located around the table. But that still left plenty of elbow room for everyone. Sitting at the head of the table in the highest chair was Boris. Melda sat at a position away from him, with Leia across from her. April and Wendy were also there, along with 6 other older women and 10 other younger women. Yep, this was Bo's harem. He wasn't just the alpha male, he was the alpha and omega of all males, at least in his mind. Bo motioned for us to come sit at the 2 empty seats directly next to him. We walked over. I sat next to Leia, with Carol across from me and next to Melda. When Bo clapped his hands, an ape in a silver tux 2 sizes too small walked up, with a wine bottle. He poured a finger's worth of wine into one of the many glasses I had in front of me.
You must try our wine. It's from a grape variety grown only on the moon. We only have a couple of wineries here, but I assure you, they're most excellent.
I looked at the label on the bottle. 2057. An excellent year for moon grapes. Bo smiled at me politely, as did everybody else. The ape poured Carol a glass. I couldn't help but notice he gave her nearly twice as much as me. I didn't complain. Not only would that be rude, but I'm not a wine guy. Just not snooty enough, I guess.
Now, would you two like salmon or steak? I assure you, they are both excellent. The salmon are from our own hatchery. The steaks are from a special breed of cattle only cloned on the moon.
I'll have steak.
Salmon.
Fantastic choices, both of them.
He looked at the ape in the tux.
Please, pass their orders to the chef.
The ape bowed and left the room. About 20 minutes later, the food arrived. As we all ate, Sputnik and I did most of the talking. It struck me as strange, since each of the women in the room could quite likely wipe the floor with both Sputnik and me. That didn't stop us. To hear Sputnik ramble on, one would have thought that he single-handedly built the moon colony. He was able to talk endlessly about all the wonders of the moon. A set populace of nothing but hand-picked scientists, workers, the best bots, and trained apes. How they're totally self-supporting, and that the Earth could disappear tomorrow, and the moon would go on like nothing happened. I let the main course flow for a while before causing any rifts. I wanted him to get comfortable again before I grilled him. I was doing a solo good cop, bad cop act. When we were done, the bots and apes started to clear away the plates.
So how was Elena doing?
Sputnik was sipping on his after-dinner drink.
Excuse me?
She's in excellent hands. My sister does a wonderful job with all her students.
Especially her daughter?
They, like all mothers and daughters, have had their issues.
Issues? She refuses to admit her mother's alive.
Some issues are bigger than others. Elena is young and headstrong. I'm sure Shara will figure out a way to get through to Elena.
So Shara isn't here?
No, she has her hands full with Elena. She's quite dedicated.
And she's still in mourning. She loved Mo very much.
We all did. He was a great scholar and a gentleman.
So you two got along?
His research helped push size to new highs.
Everyone in the room nodded gently in agreement.
Of course, Daddy, all his research was made possible by your funding and encouragement.
By not answering my question, Bo inadvertently answered it. I decided to go with a million credit question.
So how do you expect this vote to go tomorrow?
I expect Earth to see the light.
Our polls show that the vast majority, 50.5% of the Earth's population, would like to see the moon free.
It's not exactly a vast majority.
It is when 40.76% of the population is totally indifferent.
Good point. Too bad the World Council sees things differently. They're hardly your average Earth citizens. Bo, the World Council has never been one to bow to the demands of the people. Or logic, for that matter.
True. This time, I am hoping logic will prevail. I've made my views clear to the Council.
We all have.
All the ladies around the table bob their heads in agreement.
What do you do if they refuse?
A bot placed a dessert dish in front of me. It was a chocolate torte with a slice of green cheesecake on the side. It looked delicious.
The cheesecake? It's divine?
It's pretty good. That doesn't answer my question, though.
Let's not talk about such ugly matters.
I guess there's not much you can do except accept your fate and hope for the best.
I am not one to put much faith in fate and hope.
So you have no faith in faith.
Carefully, big guy. You're on his home turf, playing on his home court, surrounded by his rabid fans.
I have faith in myself and this world I built.
So what happens if the WC votes down freedom again?
All I got was a cold stare.
I guess there's nothing you can do. It must be tough. A true man of action wouldn't sit by helplessly.
Bo dove over the table and grabbed me.
I am never helpless! Never! And I have never been helpless!
Emotional, aren't you?
He let go of my shirt. He straightened himself up, composing himself mentally and physically. He lowered his eyes.
I'm sorry. That's no way to treat a guest.
He had it coming.
No. No, he didn't.
I agree.
You agree with who?
Everybody.
My number one wife is right. I am such a terrible host.
He dusted off my shoulder. I wasn't really sure why. I guessed it was his way of trying to show kindness and still be belittling at the same time. I found it strange and a bit disturbing on some levels. Still, I was interested to see that the calm, cool politician in him could overrule the angry tyrant.
I guess I pressed the nano too hard.
It's just I believe so much in what we do here on the moon and how we need to be free. Sometimes I get excited.
That's okay.
But my gut was churning. That gave me all the information I needed. Sputnik may not have been the one to kill the World Council members, but I'd bet credits to soy donuts that he certainly condoned and probably ordered the attack. He looked at me, his black pupils dominating his eyes.
If they don't grant us our freedom, I fear for us all.
Yep, he was definitely the one.
I think Carol and I should be going now.
Ah, must you go? The night is young.
Yeah, it's been a long day, being attacked by apes and a crazed Psy. Touring the moon, being attacked by the crazed Psy again.
Truthfully, though, the second Psy attack was aimed at me.
Hey, I still get tossed around and nearly smothered by vats of toxic waste.
Actually, they were more barrels than vats.
Leia grabbed my arm.
Can't you stay a few more minutes and relax? The vote is tomorrow. Who knows what will happen after that?
I might be able to stay a few more minutes.
How rude of us, Mr. Johnson. You must be so, so very tired. And we are forcing you to stay against your wishes. Tomorrow is a big day. The moon becomes independent. You get to see your girlfriend, the lovely Electra. I've summoned transport. You should go home and rest.
You're right. Carol and I should be heading back to our suite.
That's okay. Miss Cavada can stay longer if she wishes.
Carol pushed herself up from her chair. She had a regal way about her. I liked it, but it scared me. I wasn't sure if I was scared by her manner or the fact that I liked it.
I'll go with my uncle.
She walked over and took my hand.
Come on, Tio, let's go. Tomorrow will be a big day.
Yeah, I'm getting that. Thanks for everything. I hope our paths will cross again this trip.
Yes, of course. Tomorrow, you will join us in celebrating the moon's independence.
We'd like that.
I turned to the ladies, giving them a polite bow.
Until we meet again.
Gross.
Gross squared, then cubed.
After getting my coat and hat back, we quickly made it back into the bubble car and headed toward our hotel. We rode in silence, but that didn't mean we didn't communicate.
I was wrong. Nelda did it.
Excuse me?
When Leia stood up asking you to stay, that really angered Boris.
So? How did that lead to Melda?
She shot Leia a mental message. Let's not have to kill more Earthers. Right after that, Leia backed down.
Why would Melda think that so openly?
All the Moonsides are so sure of their power, they don't think anybody else can read or control them.
Well, maybe she wanted you to hear that. It's scary and cryptic enough to keep us guessing.
Huh. I never considered that.
Yeah, that's why I get the big bucks.
That night, I sat awake in my bed, pondering. Every case can be broken down to who, why, and how. Here I had the who narrowed down. I could make a good guess on the how. The why was the problem. For the who, I was pretty certain that Shannon Cannon was innocent. Problem was, I was just as certain nobody who mattered cared. The bigger dilemma was who was the killer. It might have been Melda, it might have been Leia. It could have been both. Were they acting alone? Were they acting under orders? Or was it the wild card, in more ways than one, Elena? For the How, Melda, Leia, and Elena were all extremely powerful and well-connected Psis. They certainly had the means to use their connections to override the Council's security codes, catching the bodyguards off guard. Any of these three ladies could take out the room. The How I had covered. So the big hang-up was the why. What did they hope to accomplish by this? Was it a threat? Do what we want, or else more will die? Why send an anonymous warning threat? Did they really hope to change the vote? Maybe it was just Elena out for revenge. That didn't sit right with me, though. Elena wasn't the subtle, quiet type. If she'd done it, she would have been open and in your face about it. I fell asleep, thinking that I had no idea what these people were thinking.
Wake up!
I'm awake. What's going on?
The vote came down.
What time is it?
It's 6:30 a.m. Earth Standard Time.
Isn't that early for the vote?
Yes.
It can't be a good sign.
No.
No, I'm wrong or no, I'm right?
The vote was 10-2 against.
I rolled out of bed and started to get dressed. This time I put my Under Armour back on. Who voted for it?
Only Ona and Thria.
Well, at least my little chat had some effect on them.
The others say they refused to be bullied by a Mooney, the most vocal of the protractors being Tua.
So they're still blaming Shannon.
Yes, but there is talk that she was doing it under orders from somebody else.
Oh, that's not good.
The council is meeting now to decide how to respond.
Harv, we need to contact Elektra, and fast.
Already done. No response.
Let's go get her then.
Carol's waiting for us in the lobby.
When we met Carol in the hotel lobby, she looked as stern and as serious as I'd ever seen her. She was arguing with the attendant at the front desk.
You can't seriously expect me to believe every single transport on the moon is tied up right now.
The young square-jawed blue-haired lady looked at Carol without really looking at her.
I'm sorry, ma'am. It's all down for repairs.
I came up next to Carol and leaned on the desk. Call your leader Boris Bo Sputnik and ask him to approve of transportation for us.
I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Sputnik cannot be bothered now.
This is ridiculous.
Sir, being rude is not going to help matters.
She turned away.
Make her give us a car.
Carol looked at the attendant. The attendant touched her earpiece, sending a chill up my spine.
Uh-oh. She's calling for help.
Sure enough, coming in through the front door were four extra-large gorillas in heavy armor. They were flanked by two cylinder-shaped battle bots. Bringing up the rear was their commander, a tall, light-skinned woman with a short military-style haircut. Her hair was so dark blue that in sunlight it probably looked black. I recognized her from the dinner the previous night. She didn't say much at the time, but she was there.
Forget the attendant, Carol. We've got bigger fish to fry.
The Psi is called General Tang. She's Sputnik's number two wife.
Figure she'd be a general. Harv, can you tap into the hotel's holographic system?
I've been working on that since we arrived. Their defenses are quite good. The algorithms are a kind of hybrid between Dr. Poole's and Dr. Thompson's. Fascinating, really. Certainly their defenses are on par with North Pole.
Short answer, Harv.
Of course.
Of course you give me a short answer, or of course is the short answer?
The latter.
Good. Harv, we need cloaks over Carol and me.
Cloaks. Can't we do something a little more original?
Sorry, Harv. When in doubt and pressed for time, go with the old standbys. Harv, tell me when we're cloaked.
The Psi, the apes, and the bots looked confused. Well, at least as confused as bots can look with their simple display screen heads. Tang's head was leaning forward, her eyes wide open.
Earth scum! Blanket the room with laser fire.
Change of plans. Project images of us as far away from us as you can.
I wasn't programmed yesterday.
One of the apes spotted us, well, our holographic images, and pointed them out. The other apes and the bots turned and fired. Cutting our holographic images down. Except, of course, for Harv's distraught image kneeling over our bodies.
We got them! So much for the great Zachary Nixon Johnson.
I'm not picking up any thoughts from them.
She and her squad cautiously moved toward our bodies.
Of course not. Dead people don't think.
I wasn't picking up any thoughts before you shot them.
The girl was a Psi. She was blocking you.
The door was now clear. I mentally motioned for Carol to follow me. She and I slipped toward the door as Tang and the bots were arguing. While we moved, I kept one eye trained on our attackers and my gun in my hand. We made it to the door, safely behind our attackers. The option was ours to flee or go on the offensive.
Hey, These are just holograms.
Impossible. We were picking up heat signatures.
That would be my doing.
Impossible. The moon's computer systems are secure cubed.
You better check your language databases, as I'm not sure you know what impossible means.
I was proud of Harv. He was learning from our connection. He pointed behind the bot's ape and sigh.
Messed up verbal databases are the least of your worries.
The bot spun.
Oh, no.
Explosive mini MIRV missiles, M&M&Ms as Randy calls them, slammed into the bots, shattering them on contact. The apes aimed their weapons toward us, but they didn't have a chance either.
Sleep!
Before apes dropped their weapons, then followed their weapons to the ground. They curled up with them like they were high-powered teddy bears.
I give you the first two rounds, but now you need to deal with me. Tang! Boris Bo Sputnik's number two wife!
That's a pretty long name.
I proudly call myself number two.
Well, you certainly remind me of number two. Harv's hologram had clasped his hands around Tang's head.
Please. You are only a hologram. You are less of a threat than Zack.
I tried not to take that personally. It was too bad for her that Harv did. Energy ripped from his hands into her head. Another image of Harv appeared next to me, watching himself.
I've learned how to change the energy from holographic projectors into electrical energy. The move is draining, but it's worth it.
Carol Harv and I watched as the other Harv held number two between his hands. She wiggled like a fish out of water. And then she went limp. She fell to the ground through Harv's hologram. Then that hologram disappeared.
Serves her right.
You didn't kill her, did you?
No, of course not. Now, I suggest we head out to the conference center before more guards show up.
You know, for a supercomputer, you can be pretty smart.
You know, for a human, you have a keen grasp of the obvious.
Thank you. We headed outside. There, sitting right in front of us, was our ticket to the Moon Convention Center, the security team's car. It was a big blue carriage-like sedan that looked like a smaller version of the one Sputnik had taken me touring in. It certainly was nice of number two to bring us our ride. I sat in the driver's seat. Carol got in on the passenger side. Luckily, my love of old-fashioned cars meant I could drive this baby. Once I entered the starting code, of course. Harv, can you hotwire this car?
No, I can't hotwire it, but I can start it.
Then do it, buddy.
You have to look into the ignition.
I did as I was told. Bending down and staring at the spot, the driver ape would put a key. I put her in gear and pulled away. I suppose you know where the convention center is.
Of course. Go straight until I tell you to turn.
As you wish.
Do you have a plan?
Of course I have a plan. I always have a plan.
So what is this brilliant plan of yours?
To find Elektra and make sure she and the other Earthers are safe.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
I haven't thought that far in advance yet.
No, of course you haven't. How hard can it be? We're only 384 kilometers from Earth, surrounded by hostile-sized security apes and deadly bots.
My sentiments exactly.
Oh, turn left at the next intersection.
Once again, I did as I was told. A large white building came into view. It had an arching roof, and the front wall was entirely stained glass. Next to the head administrator's residence, it was the most stylistic building on the moon. Above the building were the holographic words, Moon Convention Center and Hotel. This was the place, all right. The holographic sign suddenly disappeared. I guess they figured if they turned it off, I wouldn't be able to find the place. When I drove up to the convention center, it looked oddly quiet. There were four ape guards in front of the double doors leading into the building, and those were the only living souls to be seen. Huh. Weird.
For once, I concur.
I don't like this deal.
You picking up any thoughts from the building? She focused her gaze forward, squinting.
Weird.
What?
I'm picking up a lot of, well, dreaming.
Dreaming? I know it's early, but somebody should be awake.
Maybe it's a boring convention.
I shot Harv a look like the one he normally reserves for me.
Just throwing out a suggestion.
Can you see inside the building, Harv?
No, they took their computerized cameras offline. I can't have them back online in 5 minutes and 12 seconds.
Too slow.
Zack, I know your driving may be a bit rusty, but it's customary to slow down on your approach to parking.
Not parking. The building grew closer, faster. The ape guards pulled their weapons. This car will fit through those doors, right? I drove the car off the road and up the ramp leading to the building.
Yes, you have 2 centimeters on both sides if we hit the doors in the middle.
Good. The guards took aim. Carol?
I'm on it, Theo.
Carol pointed at the apes, then waved her hand to the side. The apes' weapons flew out of their hands. 3 of the apes, now realizing my intentions, cleared the area. Without their weapons, they knew they didn't have any chance of stopping me. Truthfully, even with the weapons, they wouldn't have had much of a chance. The one lone ape stood in the car's path. defiantly holding his hand out in the universal stop position. Not a bright ape, is he?
Just doing his duty.
Carol?
On it!
Carol lifted her arm up. The ape went flying up over the car, just as we crashed through the doors into the convention center's main exhibition room. It was a huge room, easily large enough to house hundreds of exhibitors in their booths. The thing was, the room was empty. Well, almost empty. The walls of the room were lined with containers that looked like a cross between human-sized tubes and electronic coffins. Each one had a body in it. I didn't like that at all. I better not have been in those tubes, what I was pretty sure there was in those tubes. I opened the car and got out, Carol by my side. I looked around. Coffin-sized tubes and more tubes as far as I could see. I put two and two together and came up with trouble. These people better be alive.
I'm picking up faint life signs from all of them. They're in cryo chambers in suspended animation.
That would explain the dreams I was picking up.
We moved toward the cryo chambers. Let me guess. There are 5,000 of them.
Actually, 5,002. Most of them, 4,500, have women inside. 500 have men, and 2 are empty.
I didn't know what worried me more. The 5,000 that were occupied, or the 2 that were empty. Electra's in one of them, I assume.
Affirmative. She's on the north wall in receptacle 0222.
I stormed toward the direction Harv pointed. Gates, I hope she's okay.
Don't worry. She's fine.
Carol, Harv, and I all turned. There at the entrance stood Bo Sputnik, Melda, Leia, April, Wendy, and several other blue-haired women of various sizes and ages. They were backed by 20 or so heavily armed and armored apes. Those were backed by a couple of heavy-duty 8-armed battle bots. This was basically the same group used to take Elena out. In a way, I was honored. Of course, in a bigger way, I was pissed. I was determined to keep my wits about me. Not exactly a good way to treat your guests. I motioned to the rows of cryogenic chambers with one hand, keeping my weapon trained on Sputnik's group with the other.
Actually, I don't consider them guests.
What do you consider them?
Residents of the moon.
Well, in that case, it's actually worse.
Truthfully, they're more like breeding stock.
You can't just take people and keep them for your own use!
Oh, I think they will thank me.
I don't see that happening. Sputnik slowly inched closer to me. As he moved, the entire group behind him followed. I let him come toward me. After all, if they'd wanted us dead, they could have taken us out without warning.
I know it may not seem like it now, but I am doing them and the moon a favor.
Them and the moon?
I realize the moon is a beautiful place. 1 million hand-picked people living equally and in perfect harmony.
Yeah. Save it for the rubes, Professor Hill.
Like I was saying, the moon is a wonderful place, but we are a closed environment. Even I know there is no such thing as the totally perfect society. We are always striving to improve. That's where these people come in. They are the best Earth has to offer. They will help seed our population long after Earth is a dead, decaying rock.
From what I understand, Earth has a few billion good years left in her.
Actually, Zach, the exact number of years, not taking into account any new global warming.
Big picture here, buddy.
Sadly, Earth is going to die a premature death.
How premature?
It dies today. The Earth showed its true colors by refusing to grant us our freedom.
Just exactly how do you plan on destroying Earth?
I'll let you figure that out for yourself, my friend.
I'm not your friend.
And believe me, Mr. Johnson, I am about to be head administrator of all that's left of humanity. A new and better humanity. You want me to be your friend?
You're gonna force the Zap asteroid into Earth, aren't you?
You see, Zach, that's why you're still alive. You will make a good addition to our gene pool. You're a bit rough around the edges.
A bit?
More like completely jagged around the edges.
Hey! Whose side are you guys on?
Yes, you certainly have your flaws, but they will just help make us a better place. I am wise enough to understand that we learn just as much from our mistakes as we do our successes. You will help us all learn.
Just curious, Sputnik. How would you have justified this if Earth had voted for your freedom?
Come again?
Surely you had this plan for a long time. You wanted Earth to turn you down. This gave you an excuse to get violent.
Please. I knew the people of Earth were too stubborn and pig-headed to give us what we wanted, to do the right thing.
Now the picture was finally zooming into focus. These sighs had to be blurring my mind. That's why I didn't figure it out sooner. I saw why the Mooner killed the council members. I saw Sputnik's endgame. It was a nasty one.
You even go to the Earth by killing the council members. You might have convinced your blind sheep that that was for the best, but you're a politician. You know how politicians think. You knew those murders would galvanize them to be totally against you. You also knew they wouldn't blame you at first. They'd go for the easy patsy, Shannon Cannon, giving you time to plot your plot.
I paused to let what I said sink in. I knew I couldn't get through to Sputnik, but I thought I had a shot at the others. If I could turn them, we'd have a chance here.
You don't want freedom, you want genocide. That's all you've wanted all along. You want to destroy the Earth so you and your perfect little society can create the perfect people.
Daddy, is this true?
Take out the girl and computer. Johnson is mine.
He leapt 10 meters, tackling me to the ground. That caught me off guard. Not that he could tackle me, but that he could jump so far so easily. A really scary development was that I had tried to fire at him, but nothing happened. Sputnik and I rolled over and over.
Harm, what's going on?
You are currently being pummeled.
Why?
Sputnik wants to capture you, but for some reason not kill you.
I gathered that.
Then why did you ask, Zach? Do you just like the sound of my voice in your head?
No, that's not what I mean. Why couldn't I fire Gus?
Oh, that? That's easy to answer.
Then answer it, Harv!
Oh, right. Your interface is being blocked. Gus isn't as advanced as I am, so it makes 110% sense that if they can interfere with me, then they can do the same with him. The good news is their bots are about as advanced as Gus, so I was able to take them offline.
I managed to flip Sputnik off me and push myself to my feet.
Harv. You have the hiccups?
No. Then again, maybe I do.
I ducked under Sputnik's lightning-fast left hook.
What the dosh is going on?
I built up defenses against them shutting me down, so they've worked around them. Their battle bots may have had a backdoor virus, making me, for the lack of a better word, drunk.
Sputnik caught me with an uppercut to the solar plexus that sent me flying, landing near the chambers. If it wasn't for my body armor, the blow would have done serious damage. I pushed myself up off the ground again.
Harv, how is Sputnik able to toss me around like this?
He's wearing biometric armor just like you. Probably stole the design from Randy's lab.
Great.
Actually, Zach, that's not great. It's bad.
Sputnik leapt at me again. This time I was ready. Just because I didn't have access to Gus's computer interface didn't mean I didn't have other options. I pushed the manual override switch, pulled up on Gus's tip, stretching him out to bat size. I swung Gus hard, using Sputnik as the ball. My blow landed square on his head, knocking him to the ground. He was dazed, but still conscious.
How'd that blow not put his lights out?
He's using a computer interface to modify the energy in his body to deflect the blow.
Rushing at Sputnik, I drew back Gus for the finishing blow.
What computer is he using?
Now that was something I wasn't expecting. The surprise caused me to hesitate just a split nano before swinging at Sputnik. He reached up and caught Gus between his hands. Standing up, he ripped Gus from my grasp and tossed him over his shoulder.
I'm all right! I'm all right!
But this is so not good.
My half guiding him is not inebriated. Inebriated. Funny word.
Sputnik sprung forward, headbutting me in the midsection. It hurt, but not enough to stop me from grabbing his head between my arms, then dropping down on top of him, slamming us both to the floor, him face first. I bounced back to my feet before he knew what hit him. He tried pushing himself upward, giving me the perfect target, his face. I drove my foot down toward his forehead. My foot froze in mid-kick, less than a whisker's length from finishing him off.
Dosh!
I spun away from Sputnik. I didn't want to. An unseen force was pulling me around. It was a Psi. Tweet me. Psis are great when they're on your side, but a pain in the ass when they're against you. Across the room, I saw Carol lying at Leia's feet. Carol and Harv had been able to take out some bots, an ape or two, and a Psi, but they were far too outnumbered. Leia, Melda, and the rest of the standing Psis and apes were now concentrating their attention on me. A snowball in the sun would have had a better chance.
Hey, I thought your father, husband, uncle, male, role model, and leader called dibs on me.
That was met with looks of total confusion.
Sputnik, your boss, said he wanted me all to himself.
Now they understood.
We don't think he would have wanted you to win.
Sputnik forced himself up off the ground.
My family is right. I would not have wanted you to win.
He clubbed me on the back of my head with Gus.
Zach! Zach, wake up!
My eyes shot open. The good news was it appeared Harv was back. The bad news was I was trapped in a big tube. I was pretty certain it was the inside of a cryo chamber. My hands and feet were tied, and I was getting colder. Yeah, there are times it really hoovers to be right.
Harv, you're back?
If I wasn't, you'd be frozen stiff by now.
A simple yes would have sufficed.
Yes, I am back.
Can't just say yes, can you?
No, apparently not.
Are you okay now?
Better than ever. Melda underestimated my will. She may be a good scientist and a powerful psi, but she really knows diddly squat about my advanced cognitive abilities. I was able to reprogram myself so I am no longer drunk and, more important, able to block their attempts to control me.
Harv, you just said diddly squat.
Yes, clearly I am not totally back to normal. Still, me functioning at 80% is better than any other three computers in the known worlds functioning at 100%, or any number of humans functioning at 110%.
Harv, you just said...
I know, please don't remind me. I am running corrective subroutines now.
I looked around, as much as I could move my head. I didn't see much, but I noticed Carol in the chamber next to me.
They're freezing Carol, too?
Yes, Sputnik is saving her for a later day. He figures once Earth is destroyed, she will cooperate with them without having to be reprogrammed.
How does he figure that?
He's an egomaniac. He believes whatever he thinks is the absolute truth. To him, his thoughts are like the Gospel and Quran, but much more sacred and pure, since he didn't write those books. That's part of the reason he didn't want me interfacing with his bio-armor anymore. He thought I was somehow hindering him. That's the only way he could justify you beating him.
Were you hindering him?
I wish. All my spare routines were being used to try to break free of the Psi's control. You beat him without me helping you or hurting him. His massive ego just can't accept that. So now I'm supposed to freeze with you while all my backups and co-processors get destroyed on Earth.
I smiled. Sputnik was a politician, all right. His ego jammed the door open just enough to give us a chance to escape. Now I needed to find a way to push the opening wider. I looked at Carol out of the corner of my eye.
Harv, can you contact Carol?
I may be able to use my wireless connection to reach her through my Baha'i pod.
Try it.
Turn your head toward her.
Why?
Zach, I'm only functioning with the chips directly in the lens in your eye. It would help matters greatly if you did what you were told and gave me a direct line of view with Carol.
Yes, sir.
So I turned my head.
And that snotty attitude doesn't help.
As I understood it, normally the Harv chip I have in my eye lens is just one of many virtual processors that Harv's personality or presence uses. Now that he was being isolated from the rest of the chips, my link with Harv was weakened. I was betting that, even in his depleted condition, he was still more than enough computer to get the job done. I trained my vision on Carol. I saw the small Pi-Hi pod she was wearing as a diamond on her right ear. I concentrated on it.
Open your eyes wider.
It's not easy to concentrate and hold my eyes so open.
Zach, don't concentrate. Just do what I tell you.
So I did. I forced my eyes open as wide as possible.
Hold steady.
At first I was going to complain that it wasn't like he was performing brain surgery, but then I realized in a way he was. Carol was still lying there, her eyes closed.
Nothing's happening.
Be patient.
I am being patient.
Quiet.
I saw Carol's right eye start to twitch. Slowly at first, but then it built up the steam it needed. Both eyes opened wide. She moved her head from one side to another.
Did they really think this would hold me?
They assumed you'd sleep until you were frozen.
You know what they say about assuming.
She squinted her eyes. The top of her chamber flew across the room. She moved her arm forward, snapping her restraints like they were old-fashioned peanut brittle. She looked down at her leg restraints. They surrendered to her will without much of a fight. Carol slipped out of her chamber. She pointed at the latches holding my chamber lid tight. With a snap of her fingers, she sent the chamber top flying away.
Thanks. Just be careful to only pop my restraints and not my bones.
Carol motioned with her right hand toward her body. My restraints flew off, and I tumbled to the ground.
You could've given me a bit more warning.
You're welcome, Tio.
Pushing myself up from the ground, I saw roughly 30 heavily armed apes charging us.
We get company, guys.
Carol started to ripple with energy. Her hair danced off her shoulders as she levitated off the ground.
These mooners have pissed me off. Time to let the genie out of the bottle.
Apes, seeing Carol's little display of power, stopped in their tracks.
Hey, we're on your side!
Now that was a surprise. Carol, Harv, and I waited for the apes to come to us. I wasn't sure what I found more of a shocker, that the apes could talk, or that they claimed to be on our side. The apes were all wearing armor and carrying sidearms, but they were approaching us in a calm, non-threatening manner. I had a good feeling about this, but not good enough for Carol or Harp to lower their guards or for me to lower my gun that I keep in my ankle holster, my good old Colt 44. I was feeling secure, not stupid. My 44 was light, but still packed enough of a wallop to put an ape down, as long as I hit him or her square between the eyes. One of the apes, one with gray bordering on white fur, led the group toward us. They came within 3 or 4 meters from us before I waved my 44, cueing them to stop. They did.
My name is Priscilla, Ape Commander.
For the first time, I noticed that this gorilla's uniform protruded in the chest protector more than the others. Plus, she had longer hair.
Hey, Priscilla the gorilla.
Yes, my brother Maurice was your driver when you arrived. He informed me you would get a kick out of my name.
Well, Maurice is a smart man. Ape.
He's a big fan of your work. We would be grateful if you lowered your weapon. We have no intention to harm you. You're actually cute for a human. If we wanted to blow you away, it could have killed you while you were unconscious or simply blown up the building.
Yeah, well, Sputnik wants us all alive.
If you haven't figured it out yet, Sputnik's wants are low on our priority list.
She had me on that one. I dropped my gun to my side. I didn't put it away, but it was no longer on a hair trigger. The apes all seemed more relaxed.
So you guys aren't Sputnik fans?
Please!
Why are you apes helping us?
We all have friends and family on Earth. We don't want them killed.
Makes sense.
And Sputnik is a radical nutcase squared. Whew. Everybody is happy and treated fairly. My not-so-hairy ass!
You've noticed the discrepancies.
When you've been on the bottom of the totem pole as long as we've been, you can't help but notice the footprints on your head.
Good point. Are all the apes with you and against him?
Sorry. We're split pretty much 50-50 on this one. Lots of our comrades don't want to change the status quo. They know Sputnik is bad. Hell, his ego is so powerful it gives off its own scent. But they are afraid the alternative could be worse. And they don't want to mess with the size.
They can be formidable.
The bottom line is, cutie, some of us just aren't that smart. And some of us hate change.
Apes are no different than humans. Actually, apes admit it, so they are probably smarter than humans.
Priscilla gave Harv a big toothy grin. The other apes behind her did too. Priscilla held out her hand to me.
Do we have an understanding, Mr. Johnson?
I studied her hand and arm. Her rippling muscles were apparent, despite her fur. If we were going to get out of this, we were going to need all the friends with muscles we could find. I shook her hand, trying to ignore the fact that she had called me cutie. I can never have too many friends.
How true. Zack's list of enemies is large enough to fill a small stadium. Not just the enemies, the list itself.
Priscilla reached behind her back and grabbed something. She brought her hand forward, holding Gus.
How's this for a peace offering?
I took Gus from her.
Greetings, Zachary Nixon Johnson. Your DNA has been detected on my hilt. I will now reactivate myself on your command.
Go for it.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
I am now activated and ready for action.
Speaking of action, what's your plan, Honeybuns?
Well, what's the status?
Things are bad.
Define bad.
Sputnik has already pushed the Zap asteroid towards Earth.
Yeah, that's bad, all right. Has the World Council noticed yet?
Not yet. By the time they do, they won't have any chance to stop it. They trust us.
Why?
They're politicians! Like Sputnik, their egos are so big they probably can't conceive of us turning on them.
But they'll figure it out and respond with force.
Yep, probably. What they lack in brains, they overcompensate for with brawn.
Isn't Sputnik worried about this?
He probably hasn't considered the possibility of something going wrong. In his mind, he thinks anything he thinks becomes reality.
I considered what Priscilla said. It was deranged, therefore it probably all made sense in the world of politics. The powers that be weren't going to stop any of this. It was up to us.
First off, we need to prevent that asteroid from hitting Earth. I suppose the blocking and tracking station is heavily guarded?
Yes.
How about the beam itself?
There are no guards there, because even if you destroy the beam, the asteroid will still hit Earth.
I'm not gonna destroy it. I'm gonna use it to push the asteroid past Earth.
But the controls are in the asteroid tracking and blocking station, hence the name.
Harv, can you do it?
From the beam itself?
Yes.
By bypassing the station?
Yes.
Easy as you calculating the square root of 4.
Really?
Or as easy as me calculating the square root of 4444444.
So Priscilla, can you get us there?
Let's make it so!
Racing through the thin moon atmosphere toward the deflector beam, I did some reflecting. The plan, such as it was simple in theory. Priscilla and two of her best apes were to escort Carol, Harv, and me outside the city to the deflector beam. Once at the beam, Harv would reprogram it to push the incoming asteroid out of Earth's way at the closest to the last possible moment. With a killer rock no longer a threat to Earth, my team and I would swoop into the blocking and tracking station and take control of it, thereby making it impossible for Sputnik to push the asteroid back at Earth. While we were doing that, some of the other apes were to bring the ARC conference members out of stasis. We were staging a coup, attacking Sputnik, his apes, and his size. If we were going to succeed, we were going to need more help. Powerful help.
We have to free Elena.
Oh, why? She's a bit of a loon.
True, but she's a powerful loon, and we need all the help we can get right now.
I don't like anybody who can shut me down.
Don't worry, she won't turn you off, and she'll help us.
You based this on what?
Her hatred of Sputnik.
Ah, the enemy of my enemy.
Exactly.
Cute and smart.
If we can get Elena and turn a few more sized at apes, we'll have a chance here.
Do you really believe that?
I do. Truth was, I wasn't sure at all. Elena was a wild card at best. Even if she was on our side, if we couldn't turn any other size, it would still be an uphill fight. This wasn't even taking into account Earth's reaction to the entire ordeal. The members of the World Council weren't the most mellow, easy-to-deal-with, turn-the-other-cheek bunch in the world. They weren't going to take lightly the moon trying to destroy them. It was going to take some smoother talking on my part to convince them not to retaliate. My job would be easier if Sputnik was out of the way. Things would have to fall just right if we were going to have a chance. All I could do was hope they did. Continuing our flight through the moon sky, the deflector beam slowly came into view. I had a plan. It may not have been the best plan, but it was better than no plan at all. Plus, it was flexible. I'd be able to adapt it quickly to any problems that might pop up. Having lived as long as I have, doing what I do, I knew unexpected problems were inevitable. As we flew, Priscilla and her team filled me in on some of the missing blanks about Elena. They told me that her parents were not only the identical twins of Bo and Melda, but they were also rivals. Both couples' goals were to create the perfect Psi, the next step in human evolution. They each believed the moon presented the perfect environment for this, as there was less corruption of the gene pool and in society in general on the moon. Both couples believed the moon was purer and free of mental and physical pollution. Experience has taught me that when folks get involved with something because they believe it's pure and good, no good can come of it. In baseball, they say, sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make. This holds true with science. Sometimes it's best to leave well enough alone. Having a surprisingly good grasp of human nature also filled me in on Elena's psyche. While she and Leia share DNA, the same emerald green eyes, dark blue hair, killer bods, super psi powers, and love of purple micro-minis, their attitudes and demeanors were polar extremes. Elena was never a fan of Bo's, but wasn't out-and-out hostile until the untimely death of her father. After Mo's death, which Priscilla did say was under quite questionable circumstances, Elena stopped holding back. She became colder than the dark side of Pluto, wanting to salt the very ground that Bo walked on. Leia, after the death of Mo, became even warmer and devoted to Bo. Bo could do no wrong in her eyes. That worried me. I'm a PI. I can deal with blind hatred. I know where it's coming from. The blind devotion? That was a whole different ball of wax. It's a lot harder to predict how devotees will act. The apes also clued me in on Shara Lee Sputnik. Priscilla thought she'd be sympathetic to our cause, but couldn't be certain. Why does she support Bo at all if there's any suspicion that he killed her husband?
Because she is a smart woman. There's no proof Bo had anything to do with Mo's hover accident. Mo was a bit of a hot rodder. He preferred to drive hovers manually.
So it's possible he just crashed on his own then?
Yes.
Then why does Elena hate Bo so much?
She is convinced Bo wanted more control over her. Control he could never have with Mo around.
Is that true?
Well, it could be. Being an ape, I'm not one for idle speculation, though.
So Shara is no fan of Bo's either?
No. He's always rubbed her the wrong way. Once, he tried giving her a neck massage after a late-night lab session. She hated it. He longed to marry both sisters, but Shara would have nothing to do with that.
She desired a more thoughtful man.
How do you know all this?
We apes may not talk much, but I assure you we do listen. Bo even offered to marry Shara after his brother's death, claiming it was the right thing to do.
That's our Bo, always doing the right thing, as long as he's got something to gain by doing it.
Shara refused. She is a very proud woman.
Carol, you met Shara. What did you think about her?
She reminded me a lot of Melda.
Well, they are twin sisters.
I mean in demeanor. She was very cool and professional. They don't look like identical twins.
She uses her mental powers to change her appearance, so she separates herself from her sister. She's a little off.
That's not exactly a big surprise. Hopefully, we'll be able to convince her to help us anyhow.
With Shara, you never know.
We would soon enough. Once Harv rigged the deflector beam to push the Zap asteroid past the Earth, then shut down, I was heading to the Psi Center. But right then, it was first things first. Harv and I, well, mostly Harv, had to concentrate on the task at hand.
How close to the deflector beam do you have to be before you can reprogram it?
I need a direct physical link. If I didn't need to touch the thing, we could have done this from anywhere.
And by I, you mean me.
By I mean us.
So, you need a direct line of sight?
Yes. Once into the inner workings of the deflector beam, I will clone myself onto its operating system. I will be in control.
Yeah, you'll be in control of a device that is capable of destroying the Earth.
Yes.
And that's a good thing because...
Oh, I'm not a madman bent on destroying one civilization so his little corner of civilization can carry on with his vision of what he believes the human race should be.
Good point.
Yes, good to know you agree with me. If I slept, I would sleep better knowing that.
Carol, am I as annoying as he is?
Carol pointed to the deflector beam that was now less than 100 meters away.
I think we better concentrate on the matter at hand.
I reached forward and tapped Priscilla on the shoulder.
We need to land as close to the beam as you can get.
I've been listening to your conversation with Harv.
Any thoughts?
I'm glad I don't have a computer wired to my brain.
Any other thoughts?
It's amazing humans still run the place.
Any other thoughts? One's more pertinent to our current situation?
No. Sounds like a good sound plan.
She's just humoring you because she thinks you're cute.
Priscilla's driver pulled our hover up next to the deflector beam. The beam wasn't that stirring. A long metallic post shooting maybe 100 meters into the moon's sky. Sitting atop the post were two old-fashioned looking rotating satellite dishes. Harv told me that one of the dishes was for backup tracking, and the other fired the deflector, or if needed, tractor beam. Priscilla turned toward Carol and me.
Put your feet on the nanopads. I will activate the nanosuits for your surface walk.
I followed Priscilla's instruction. Harv also put his feet on one of the pads. For all of Harv's claims that he has no desire to be human, he certainly does act like us sometimes. Priscilla reached up and pressed a button on the ceiling of the shuttle. I felt a tingle from my toes to my head as the nanofiber rolled up my body. At least I thought I felt it. In less than a second, I was completely covered. Though it may have been the second time I had worn a nanosuit, the first time was under emergency conditions, so I didn't really get a chance to think about it. That time it was react or die. This time I had time to reflect on having my body covered by tiny nanomolecules. I felt wrapped, like yesterday's roast beef sub trying to stay fresh in the corner deli's refrigerated showcase. Priscilla pushed another button on the ceiling. The rear door of the shuttle opened. I moved out of the shuttle toward the beam. Harv's image trailed me. For some reason, he was wearing an old-fashioned spacesuit, one with an extra-big helmet. I kept moving carefully to the beam. It wasn't much thicker than a streetlight. Looking up and down, I saw no control panel. I figured this was only a minor problem, as I was certain that Harv knew where the panel was. He pointed to the left about 2 centimeters from where my eyes were looking.
The control panel is there.
I positioned myself in front of where Harv was pointing. The surface looked smooth and unbroken.
Are you sure?
Just press right there.
A beam of red light shot from my eye to a point on the deflector beam. Making a fist, I pounded on the beam. A small door popped up, revealing circuitry. Harv walked over and peered over my shoulder.
Wow, this interface is so old.
How old?
Looks like they haven't updated it in decades.
Can you still interface with it?
Can you count to 10?
A simple yes would have been enough.
Surely it would have been. I'm just surprised that this hardware hasn't been updated in 30 years.
Why would the Council spend money on something as trivial as protecting Earth from killer asteroids? I'm sure they have more important things to spend it on, like updating their offices.
Ooh, you really do have quite the cynical side.
Yeah, what can I say?
It's actually my favorite part of your personality.
Are you going to reprogram that thing?
Unlike you, I can walk and chew gum and deftly hack into the moon's asteroid deflector beam at the same time.
I take that as a yes.
It's done.
We turned and headed back to the shuttle.
Of course, none of this will mean anything unless we stop Sputnik and his girls from re-reprogramming it.
It's easier said than done.
Most things are.
We got into the shuttle and it took off. I knew if this plan was going to have a chance of working, we were going to have to convince Shara to, at the very least, free Elena and hopefully find along with us as well. I wasn't all that secure knowing that my plan hinged on not only freeing Elena, but also relying on her. As we flew toward the dome, covering the city, Carol must have noticed the look of concern on my face.
Worried about Elena?
Yeah. I trust her, I just don't know why. So I'm not sure if I trust my trust.
I trust her too. She could have killed us at any time, and she didn't.
Yeah, but maybe she just likes playing with us. We're the mice, and she's the cat. I had to hope that in this case, the cat would be more interested in taking out the big rat. A rat named Sputnik.